Well, good morning, everyone. I tell you what, didn't Greg and the praise team do a fantastic job this morning? Would you just thank them with me? Week in and week out, they put hours and hours in to help prepare to lead us in worship to God. And so every Sunday morning, it's a gift to be able to worship here together. And this morning, seeing Sam Souter here as well, we're so glad to see him back this morning with us as well. Oh, what a good morning this is, and we're so glad to see you. When Ronnie asked me back in January to speak to you today, we had no idea that this would be the second to last Sunday that my wife and I would be here in Texas. As many of you know, we have accepted a job back east in the Holy Land of Tennessee. I've accepted the job as the new senior minister at the Antioch Church of Christ, and so we have two more weeks here with you, and then we'll wing our way east back there to start the work in June. But as we sort of thought through and talked about what was going on and sort of reminiscing over the past 5.5 years with you here at First Colony, really just thought a lot of the good, the high times, some of the lows, some of the things that have happened. And over and over and over and over again, it kept coming back down to relationships. And so I think back and some of the fond memories that I have. I think about my monthly Tuesday morning IHOP breakfast. Yes, breakfast of champions with Bob Temple, one of our elders and one of my dearest friends, where he would mentor me and encourage me and challenge me to take some growth and steps. My wife Lindsay has talked often about Beth Voss, a lady here who has weekly blessed her. She's mentored her, talked to her, loved on her, and we've spent countless nights over at her and Norm's house just to share, to talk, and enjoy life together. And there have been so many of you who have been influential to our lives. I think about Ronnie, Hal Elrod, Dana and Sheila Wright, Rick and Trisha Clark, Ronnie and Susie Wright, the Pace family, and so many more of you who have been family, friends. And so before we get started this morning, since I have the mic, I just need to take a second to say, listen, we love you and thank you for the past 5.5 years. It has been truly the greatest gift of our young lives. Well, listen, so this morning as I was thinking through what do you share on the last Sunday to your church family, thinking and praying through it, there's really only one thing that could be said, and here it is. I hope and I want most desperately to see each one of you again together with all of the saints in heaven one day. That is what I want you to hear this morning. Let's not let this be the last day that we see each other. But my prayer is that we will see one another again and that one day we will be reunited with all the saints in glory. We've had a lot of good relationships here. A lot of good relationships have begun, and really in 5.5 years, a lot of good relationships have had to be put on pause. People have moved away. Others have passed away. And even though we know that they are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ, our souls just long to be with them, don't we? We just miss them. We ache, and we desire so desperately to have that reunion. But here's the good news. There's coming a day when our King, King Jesus, is going to come and he's going to take us home. And according to Scripture, here's what we're going to see. A city so beautiful and bright that our human eyes would go blind. We will see things, sights. We will see colors so vibrant and beautiful that words don't describe them anymore. We will hear sounds and such beautiful music sung by beautiful voices at perfect pitch. By the way, isn't that just a dream? You may be sitting next to someone this morning going, that's a miracle right in itself. And we're going to see friends and family that we have been parted from, and there will be no more pain. There will be no more pain. In fact, those people who in this life dealt with arthritis, crippling diseases, who were wheelchair and walker bound, they will run for miles and miles and miles without getting winded. And when we go there, we will see family and friends and ancestors, and we will see people who we love and long and we will embrace. And with an innumerable number of saints, we will shout, holy, holy, holy. is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. What a reunion that will be. That is what we will see one day when we come together, when we see each other again. Let's not let today be the last time, though, that we see each other. And so what I want to share with you with that backdrop, that goal, what we're going to one day, are just some words written by the Apostle Paul to a family, a church family that he loved dearly. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn over there. We're going to look at just a few verses there. It'll also be on the screen. But my final words to you will be words that I'm not a wordsmith, so I'm just going to steal from Paul. But here's what I would say to you, starting in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So Paul's going to start using a word picture to define and explain something of spiritual significance. He goes on, verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. 26, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Verse 27, no, I beat my body and make it my, give me that word, slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So Paul uses a word picture that the people of Corinth would be familiar with, and that's of sports, of running a race. The Greeks had really two big sports festivals. There was the Olympics, but then there was the Isthmian Games, which took place in Corinth every 3 years. Now, it was a pretty significant deal for them. In fact, leading up to the games, all competitors had to go through 10 months of rigorous training. And the last month, the 10th month of their training, would actually take place in Corinth. And they would have daily supervised training activities. And if they were to miss training, or if they chose not to train, they were subject to being disqualified from the race. And so Paul's saying, listen, don't disqualify yourselves here. They're going to be running for a cheap piece of plant that's going to be wrapped around their head like a wreath that's going to be dead and gone in a couple of weeks, but you have something much more significant than that you're running to. He says, do not get tired. Do not become disqualified. And in fact, he recognizes that this is not an easy thing. If you look, that little word right there in verse 25 that says compete, that word, everyone who competes, comes from a little Greek word, which is, let me make sure I get this right, agonizomai. Let's say that together, agonizomai. Now, that word means the word compete, but it's also where we get this great little word called agony. He was saying everyone who beats their bodies into submission, who plans to run the race for the prize, is going to go through a little bit of heartache. It's going to be tough. There are going to be days where you just do not want to get out of bed. You don't want to put on those shoes. You do not want to run another mile. But he said, you do this for a prize of significant value and worth. Now, any of you who have ever played sports know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? In high school, I played soccer. I wasn't big enough to play most other sports, but the ball was about my height. So I played soccer throughout high school. Loved it. The only thing I didn't like about it is the coach always said, you cannot compete if you don't show up to practice and really push yourselves. And see, that was a little bit of a problem because this guy was sort of a sadist who was posturing as a coach. We'd start each practice with a mere 2 mile jog just to warm up. Some people run for pleasure. I run for survival. And while other people will be going, oh, what a pretty butterfly, after the first mile marker, I'm running towards a bright light, if you catch my drift. And so we'd run 2 miles. Then we'd have about an hour and a half of all of the exercises. You know, you do the drills, you'd run, you'd pass the ball, you'd just the different things. And then depending on the guy's mood, at the end of the day, he would let us slow down and just finish off with between 8 to 10 suicides. If you don't know what they are, the word says it all. You start on one end of the field, you run to a quarter of the way, touchdown, run back, touchdown, halfway, touchdown, all the way back, touchdown, three quarters, four quarters, all the way, that's one. And so if he was feeling good, he would give us 8. Feeling bad, we'd get 10. It was not fun. That was not my idea of an enjoyable afternoon in the park. But here's the deal. We all did it because we wanted to compete. We wanted to be in the game. We didn't want to miss out on something simply because we were unwilling to go through some temporary difficulty, trouble, frustration, heartache. And so we'd work out. We would practice. So that way we would be qualified to compete. And so Paul is saying, work hard, move forward, keep pressing, don't slow down. See, Paul's fear was that while he still had some miles to run, he actually wrote this in about 53 AD, 15 years before he died. He was in the prime of his ministry. A lot of good things had happened. He'd won a lot of games spiritually. But here he was in the prime of his life, and he's writing these words to a group of people that he loves dearly because he is fearful that if he does not maintain a rigorous workout schedule, he might disqualify himself. He was fearful that because of a lack of focus and self-discipline, he might fall into sin that would make him unfit. He lived daily with the reality that he could do certain things that would disqualify him, things that would cause him to lose trust with others, that would cause people to doubt him or scorn him. And he had labored for many years to gain a reputation and testimony as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And he lived with the constant understanding that he could literally, please hear me, in just a moment, throw it away because of sin or stupidity. And so can you, and so can I here. Listen, it takes just a moment of unbridled passion to ruin a marriage. It takes 5 minutes on the computer to start an addiction that will ruin your family and friends when it comes out. It takes just a few unchecked, unthought through, unrehearsed words to come bring everything crashing down that you've worked on, and it can easily be something as simple as being lazy or becoming complacent that can wreck things for you. And listen, this is something that we need to take very seriously because he's saying don't disqualify yourself. The goal, the prize is too great for that. Don't give up. Do not do those things that could so easily rock and change and fracture what you have been working so hard to achieve. And so he's going to beg those who are listening to him to move forward and keep moving and to work hard. Now, of course, the Bible says over and over and over again that there's grace at the foot of the cross. We're not talking about some self-help, white knuckle, make ourselves become what we need to be. But there is a response that we're called to give, to continue to partner with God and run and move forward and train and practice. And so because my hope and my desire this morning is that we see each other again, I just want to offer 3 suggestions. That's all they are. 3 suggestions on how to stay the course and stay in the race. You have some space on the back there to write these down. Otherwise, just listen. The first suggestion is do not, please, I beg you, do not let anything come between you and your daily time with Jesus Christ. Listen, a vibrant, lively, soul-winning, powerful life flows from the source, and that's Jesus Christ. And unless you are with him regularly, I'll just tell you personally, I shrivel. That's where I find life. That's where I find sustenance. That's where I find depth and where I can then flow out. So do not let anything come between you and your daily time with Jesus Christ. Second suggestion is have real accountability with people who are not impressed with you. not just the yes men and yes women of the world, but have real accountability with people who are not impressed with you. I have yet to meet anyone who likes to hear personal critique. I mean, I don't know anyone who just revels in it. Oh, wow, thank you. I blew it on this. Fantastic. Yet I have yet to meet anyone who was not willing to submit, who consistently had soul-revealing, biblical accountability with others and did not grow. It was in the accountability, it was in the relationship, it was in that time that they found a sense of, okay, here's what I need to work on. These are some of the things that I need to continue pressing up against because I see that they're not where I need to be. Now, why is it that accountability is so important? Well, Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens another. And his whole point is that we have a lot of sort of rough, prickly edges as humans, don't we? How many married folk do we have in here? Go ahead and raise your hand. You know that you have prickly parts because your spouse has probably shown them to you. But it's in that time of being pressed up against and rubbing up against and having filed those little rough spots with someone else through biblical accountability that we begin to be softer and molded more into the shape God has called us and wants us to be. So please find and be in consistent, godly accountability. And number three, slow down. Say no and create margin in your life for rest, reflection, and fun. I'll say it again. Slow down, say no, create margin in your life for rest, reflection, and fun. God knew what he was talking about when he put the Ten Commandments together, didn't he? Well, one of those, and the one that I tend to forget most often, is this one about taking Sabbath or a special day where I refresh myself. That's not the same thing as watching an all-day marathon of your favorite program. But that is an intentional day where you unplug from the regular activities of life and you refresh. Maybe you get with other friends. You enjoy good food and good drink together. Maybe you spend time with your family. You go to a park. Or maybe you spend time reading a good book or reflecting on something someone said or listening to good music. But it's a time where you are refreshed. Because it's in those moments where we create a little bit of margin, where we give some space and can sort of step back, that we gain perspective of what's happening. And we can start seeing some of those areas, those disqualifying markers that may be creeping in. And we can say, wait a minute, I've got a goal. I've got a prize, and I want to run without those distractions, without those things that could cause me to disqualify myself from running the race well. From running the race well. Now, I'm speaking to someone here today, and you're just tired. I mean, you're just beat up. You're tired of running. You're tired of having to get up and do those practices. And if you have to do one more spiritual wind sprint, you're through. My encouragement to you this morning, I just beg with you, please, don't give up. Keep running. Keep moving forward. Don't slow down. Because the one who calls you to train, that would be God, the one who trains you, he will be the one who sustains you. Continue to move forward. Do not slow down. Do not quit. And I know in a group this size, there are also some who, well, you've done something maybe to sideline yourself. And you're thinking, is there a way for me to even get back in the race? I don't know that I can't. I feel out of shape. I haven't ran in a long time. I've done things. There's some baggage, some things that have distracted me. Listen. God's grace is always available. In fact, the fact that you're here this morning, here today, is just one more illustration that he is still wooing you back into the race, saying, come on, it's not too late. Let's get going. Would you stand up, dust yourself off, and let's keep running. So let's agree this morning, right here, right now, let's agree that this will not be the last time we see each other. Let's agree this morning, right here, right now, that we will encourage one another to keep pushing forward and pressing on. Let's agree this morning, right here, right now, that we will be people who consistently have time with the Lord, that we lean into Him, and when we fail, we don't run away, we run to Him. Let's agree right here, right now, that we will run well, that we will continue pressing forward and running the race with perseverance. And listen, here's the good news, that if we can agree to this, if we will encourage one another, if we'll move forward, if we will not slow down, back down, give up, or quit, then you and I, when we get to the finish line of our lives and look in the rear view mirror, we can say the same words that the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life. In fact, in the same year that he died, he wrote these words, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but get this, folks, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul looks back over his shoulder 15 years after penning the words to the Corinthian church saying, I beat my body up to keep moving so I don't disqualify myself. And here in AD 68, he is standing, recognizing he's about to be executed for his ministry. And he says, my time is coming to an end, but I kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I didn't disqualify myself. Now, he does not say that he ran perfectly or that he had a 4-minute mile record. He just says that he kept moving forward. And by God's grace, he will finish. And here's my prayer to you. I hope that you will be able to, and I will be able to say those exact words one day. Whether it's in a hospital bed or somewhere else where we can say, you know what? This has been a good life. It's been hard. There have been moments of agony. It's been tough in places. But I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now I, like Paul, have a crown waiting for me. And the world's greatest family reunion prepared in just a few moments after. Let's not let this be the last morning together. My prayer is that you will continue to run, that you will run with perseverance, that you'll keep moving forward. And when you fall, when you stumble, when you do get distracted, when you do make mistakes, that you will get up and, like Paul, you'll dust yourself off and continue moving forward. I'm going to pray for us this morning, and then I'm going to ask Greg to come and close us in a final song. And as we sing this morning, if there's something, maybe you're thinking, man, there have been times where I've disqualified myself. Maybe I don't feel like I'm able to get back in the race. I would encourage you, let this be a time where you just call out to God and say, Lord, I'd like to be back in the race. He'll invite you right back in. And maybe this morning you're just a little distracted. There's some things that are kind of pulling your attention elsewhere, and you're thinking, it looks so much more enticing on the sidelines. It's not so hard. Would you also ask God and say, the one who has called me, the one who trains me, will sustain me? Will you do that this morning? Let's go ahead and stand. We'll close in prayer and have Greg lead us in a final song. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness. We thank you, Almighty God, for inviting us into this race and for not just calling us, but for saying, hey, I'll train you. I will equip you. I will keep you in the race. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. But Lord, I know that some of my brothers, some of my sisters here, boy, some of them are running well. They are just sprinting down the course, and things are good. I celebrate that with them. But Father, there's some in here who are just tired. They feel discouraged. They have been pushing forward, but things are tough. Lord, would you give them an extra measure of your grace and your presence and your power this morning? Father, there are others in here who they're here, but they wonder why, because they did something sometime that they feel has disqualified them from service. Lord, I ask that you'll remind them that you're the one inviting them back. And the fact that they're here today is because you have pulled them here this morning. Would you help them stand up, dust themselves off, and begin running anew? We ask that you will take us together and reunite us again one day in your kingdom. It's through our Savior and big brother Jesus Christ's name that we pray this morning. Amen.